My heart keeps skipping a beat, you're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? It is Mike Pierce. It is time for the gang-related recap show right here on Variety Radio Online. Alongside of me, all the way from the country, Amy McCracken. What's up, Amy?
Hey, Mike. Nothing much here. God, country is hot today, that's for sure. I am burning up.
Yeah, it gets hot over there. Texas, it gets hot over here as well. Nothing like Los Angeles, California, IA weather.
Oh, no, they got the breeze. I wish I was in California right now. Down here in North Carolina and Texas, we have the humidity, okay? And
Hell yes.
It could be 100 degrees but feel like 200 degrees.
Hell to the yes. Preach on, sister. Preach on.
So I love Los Angeles. I really love your weather, but I'm tired of people complaining. Oh, my God, it's so hot.
I know. Or it's so cold. When I go to L.A., my friends are like, it's so cold, Mike. I'm like, this is shorts and T-shirts, 60 degrees. This is perfect for us.
Exactly. I was in L.A. In December, my first time in Los Angeles in December, and everybody's like in winter Alaskan coats and stuff like that, and I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, they're going crack. And speaking of crack, let's talk about gang-related. Now, this is a show that we do. We picked it up a couple of episodes back. It's a new show on Fox. And you had the opportunity to watch it first before I did, and you're like, Mike, we got to recap the show. And I was like, let me see. And it's a really great show. And I know that we've been kind of meeting new online friends when it comes to the show. I know GR Addicts on Twitter is supposed to call in. I think some of their hosts are supposed to be some of their crew might be calling in to discuss the show as well. So I extended the time a little bit just so we can have time to talk to those guys and gals. So we don't know when they're going to call in. I guess you'll see it when it pops up.
Yep.
And I guess we'll just kind of kick off the episode.
Okay.
The episode aired on Thursday night.
Yes.
The episode was called Invierno Gallo.
Which means
something in the I don't know. Something in the streets. I can't remember what it means. I'm telling you, I can only speak Spanish when I
drink
alcohol.
You know what? Next season, it's going to be either Jose. Who in the we need a Jose on our radio show. I'm either going to get Jesus to call in and tell me what these titles mean, or I'm going to get Wicked to call in and tell me what these titles mean.
Wicked doesn't speak Spanish. And Jesus will probably get into the details of how Invierno was spelled to the Gallo and give you history of Los Angeles, and yeah, it's just going to be.
That's what I love about him. Even though I keep calling him Jose.
Right.
He still loves me. Okay, Mike, so you know this past couple of episodes, I've been like, what the hell? It's just not picking up for me, or I get bored. I think I know why now.
So, okay, you're saying that you got bored with this episode.
I kind of got bored at the beginning.
What?
I know, but it got better. It got really better. But I know why now. It's because there's like 50 different storylines in one episode.
What's wrong with that?
I can't follow it.
And honestly, Amy, you're being a little dramatic. It's not 50 stories. I mean, it's like you have Ryan and RZA, and then you got B and Han, and then you got Javier, and then you got Daniel. I mean, it's starting to get going now.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't understand. I mean, speak your mind. I mean, do you only like – so the people know what you're talking about. Do they
– No,
do you
I
like
love every storyline. No, I love every storyline.
Okay, so let me get it straight. So what you'd rather see is you'd rather see, like, Ryan and Cash's drama, but you'd rather see them two go through the whole episode of just them two?
Yeah, because then I can, I think, because I could follow it better then.
Okay.
Because
right.
This one we had, you know, Ryan and Cash, and then we had Han, who I keep calling him Han, and you
it's
keep
Han.
Calling him Han. What is his name on the show? Tiggs? What is his name?
It's actually Sanu.
Well, yeah, Sanu Kim.
But we call him Han, it's Han. Fast and Furious.
He was Han in this episode, because he was behind that wheel chasing that truck. And that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of you, Mike, you and Fast and Furious.
I'm telling you, I'm a Fast and Furious freak right here. Real quick, don't forget, people, this is a live show. If you if you sign in on the top, you can actually sign in through your Twitter, your Facebook, and you can actually join the chat room. We have the chat room open. You can it's all the way at the bottom under the player. So just sign in, figure it out, and that way you can you can use your little username. If not, you can't do it. But just do it. Just do it. And then I did have some tweets. From the GR Addicts, and they said they asked them when they can call in. Apparently, the show last night trended. Gang hashtag gang related Fox.
Yeah, awesome.
So that's sweet. Candace and I are calling, which is Sophia Junk. I don't know if Sophia Dash Junk is like Sophia's got junk in her trunk, or I guess we'll have to find that out if she calls. I'm kind of curious about that. So, yeah. So right now she's tweeting me right now. I'm retweeting her. So be on the lookout, Amy, for them to call.
Love
I don't
you.
Know.
Love
I don't
my
know.
Eyes, my eyes are hooked to the switchboard. I am.
Got it. Got it. So let's jump into the beginning of this episode. I have to admit, one of my favorite parts, normally it's like in the middle toward the end, but I loved how Theo was giving Carlos a little piece of knowledge at the park.
You like that?
Oh, yes, dude. He needed that shit. You know, and it just – Carlos, you and I have been – you know, we weren't a fan of Carlos in the beginning. And then when he got put in the wheelchair, we're a fan of Carlos. And we're kind of like emotions up and down. And this last episode where he beats the crap out of his – and we didn't see his therapist.
He's probably back in a wheelchair trying to fix his legs again.
Yeah. You know, and it was good to have, you know, Uncle out there with him in the park telling him, like, you know, when he said, oh, yeah, he had it coming, he's like, no, he didn't, you know, and it's almost like Carlos almost respects, he respects his dad, but you got to respect Uncle, because Uncle, you know, he's a man.
He's scary. He is scary.
Yeah.
But do you honestly, I don't think that conversation did any good. He didn't listen to his father. He went behind his dad's back, started selling tainted butter.
Okay. So I'm not a fan of Carlos right now, but I see his reasoning because, you know, I think Carlos had good intentions to get money for the family. They needed $3 million or the Mets was going to start getting blood. So, you know, I think it meant well. I think it was dumb on his part to have a bad batch out there and blame it on the Koreans, where everybody then wants from Angelicos their drugs. I think it wasn't properly thought about. I think, and you know, and even Carlos says it in the beginning of the episode. He's like, you know what, we can do this and we can do this and we can get this and get some extra money. And that's what they were going to kind of do a little bit. But I don't think Javier thought it was going to go this drastic, you know, and Carlos kind of screws up there, you know. I mean, the whole beginning of this episode, it was cool that Uncle gave him a piece of his mind. I mean, what did you think about when Carlos and Ryan, you know, get into that argument, you know, right in the beginning where they're all meeting and Carlos rolls in and to the meeting, Ryan's pretty surprised that he's actually in on the meeting. You know?
Yeah, because it sounds like this is the very first meeting that he's ever been to, even when he could walk.
Exactly. You know, so I think Ryan's like, whoa, what's going on? I mean, do you agree with Ryan? Do you think that Carlos shouldn't have been in the meeting and should have just stayed out like he has been?
Well, I don't know if I agree with Ryan, but I see Ryan's point of view.
Right.
Like, this is the guy that broke his arm when he was, like, 12.
It's true that. Got his partner.
Killed his partner. You know, like, didn't just shoot him. Killed him in cold blood.
Yeah.
So I said, Ryan, it's taking like everything Ryan has not to kill him.
Oh, yeah, because you can just – I mean, in this episode, this is the first time that I noticed the real tension between Ryan and Carlos.
Yeah.
I mean, there's years of tension built up. I think what they need to do is just go out in the backyard of Javier's house and just go – well, they can't do it now. But, you know, you should have let these two slug it out a long time ago.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just got to get a couple of punches in and get it out of your system and be like, okay, now we're good. But it's too late now for Carlos, you know. But it seems like Carlos has a lot of anger too. He needs to go into that. What's it called when it's badass? The guys that are in wheelchairs, but they're almost like in medieval wheelchairs. They play basketball and they just rollerball war.
Medieval wheelchairs.
Oh no! It's real.
I know the sport you're talking about.
But their chairs are like solid metal, and they just need to – yeah, I think Carlos needs to get thrown in one of those games and just, like, let it all out.
He does have some build-up, like
– you're ancestral.
Yeah.
So he couldn't do it, you know?
Well, you know what? If he wouldn't have killed or wouldn't have beat his therapist, then maybe his therapist could have told him, okay, this is how we're going to get your equipment to work.
Okay.
Because I'm sure that the therapist, you know, he had some trouble downstairs too. So, Carlos,
I wouldn't know. We didn't really get into the in-depth story of, of how.
I know we didn't get into it, but you know how I am. I like to think past what we see on the screen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Let's move on. So of course, the laced butter drug mixed with bath salt. So, of course, we see the first incident with Eddie Lynn pretty much digging out his own eyes. I thought it was like someone had come after him and like it was another gang rival. But this dude like cut his own eyeballs out because of the monsters.
Well, I don't know about you, Mike, but I've heard...
I thought you were about to say, I don't know about you, Mike, but I've tried bath salt. And I can relate to Eddie Lynn.
No, I've never tried bath salt. That's crazy crap. You know, with people in Florida doing that stuff and, like, eating other people, that is nasty. But I've heard, like, horror stories of people taking different types of drugs with different types of drugs and seeing monsters, seeing, like, little blue elves trying to take them off Ferris wheels.
Let me tell you something, Amy, and anybody that's listening to this show will know what I'm talking about. Back in my younger days, I experimented with drugs. You know, I can't say everybody has. I have. And yes, you do see little things. You do see, I remember one time I was at a rave, and I swear to God, I thought I was seeing rats crawling all over the floor because I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden I would see something go on the dance floor, and I'd be like, did you see that? And my friends would be like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, yeah. You could definitely see some serious stuff. And these guys here, I saw monsters, thank God. But I did see little people. And, yeah,
would have you, like, tore up your eyeballs? I mean.
Hell no! I wouldn't,
his eyeball was laying, like, both of them were laying right there. That was disgusting.
Yeah, I figured you weren't going to like that too much, you know. I mean, it was some serious lacing because, you know, you had the eyeball cutting out and, of course, this rave kid who goes around. I mean, they're in the – did it seem like the rave was going on during the day?
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a party during the day. I was like, where was
this
party at?
It was because they filmed, like, in the office scene during the day because you could see the sun coming in.
Right. And then they were like, hey, we have a gun shootout. And then I was like, is this rave going on during the day? Like, what's
– Maybe – Maybe, you know, they got the cities mixed up instead of, you know, New York is the city that
LA. I was like, I need to go to this party. Now, did you think that was a smart move that Ryan did? Like, putting his gun and even RZA was like, yo, what are you doing? Like, he's like, don't worry, I'm going to talk to him. I'm like, Ryan's got some balls because I would not have talked to a person who was it's obvious he was on some next level stuff. I mean, he could have got shot in the head.
He could have, but I mean, we all knew he was wearing his vest.
True that, true that.
Like, if they killed Ryan, what, we're six episodes in, five episodes in? If they killed Ryan five episodes in, then I would be like, what the hell? You know?
That would not be. Yeah, you and I would have been like,
oh, you got five men shooting up Carlos, but he doesn't die. You got one guy with one gun.
Dude, I'm telling you, Carlos, every time he would move, he was getting shot. He was avoiding bullets. That's why he did not get shot in the head. In his car. Just let it go.
Okay. I'm gonna let it go.
Did you hear Javier say sometimes to move in the future you gotta let go of the past? Let go of the past.
Yes.
Listen to Javier.
I'm gonna listen to Javier. But then he went back to his past and killed his friend's best friend.
We'll get there. Yeah, that was Javier. You think he's like, and I'm sorry, Javier wants to really, really, truly be legit, but he can't. It's just, you know, and some people think he can.
You honestly don't think he could be legit? Like, you don't think, you know, once everything's said and done and he's out and he owes nobody nothing? I don't think so.
I think that he can change and I think he wants to change. The problem is that living that lifestyle, I believe it's always going to be around the corner. And there's always, you know, you're going to be legit and then something's going to happen that, you know, you had beef with so-and-so and so-and-so, and this person went after it, and you're going to have to get uncle to do things, and you're going to have to – you might not do it yourself, but you're definitely behind the shot caller, behind everything. I mean, it's obvious in the end of this episode, Javier doesn't do the slicing, but definitely says, he's my soldier at the end of this. He might be your friend. You gave him the order, but you know what? He's my soldier. And then uncle just whoop, takes him out.
And you knew it was coming though, right?
Oh, yeah, I definitely knew it was coming. Oh, definitely.
I felt sorry for that guy. All he wanted to do was smoke a little weed.
That's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to smoke a weed, play video games, talk to a lot of chicks.
And drink a 40.
And Carlos screwed that up for him. And that's what – now, but you know, and now that we're talking about that, do you think Carlos is going to be like, I understand now, Dad? Or do you think Carlos is going to be like, screw Dad, screw everybody?
I think he's going to be like, screw Dad, screw everybody, but Carlos needs to remember, he couldn't get out of his front door without the help of Ryan.
True that. I just don't see why Carlos doesn't hire a couple of hot maid chicks. I would have girls in, like, go-go outfits helping me out.
That's because you have a brain and Carlos doesn't.
True that. True that. I see that we have a caller.
We do have a caller, but they haven't pressed one, so I'm not sure if they want to talk to us or not.
So right now they're listening, and then whenever they place one, we can have them jump in. Cool.
Yes.
Let's see what else. What else happened? Okay, now what did you think about the whole, you know, after the whole rave gun shooting and, you know, and Riz's gun is taken and the whole thing, and then Carlos goes to, you know, Javier's house and Ryan goes to the house and sees Carlos, and Carlos pretty much punks his loyalty and pretty much tells him, like, you want to be a cop. You want to walk around here. You know, you're really not.
But do you think Ryan and Carlos have loyalty to each other? I don't think so. I think they're just they're in the same, what they call, family. But I think Carlos, he would have shot Ryan at the first episode if the show wasn't about him.
I agree. And I think – I really think that, yeah, it's going to be weird, especially at the end of this episode where we see – Javier pretty much admit that he doesn't respect his son because he's let him down so many times. And I think that relationship, it's going to be very, my gut is telling me their relationship is over. It's not going to be the same. He might act like it is because he lives there. Cause I don't think Carlos would leave and say, screw you, Dad and the family. I'm out of here and be on his own. I don't think that's going to happen, but this is definitely going to add some heat. And maybe I think Carlos probably won't take it out on his dad, but he definitely will take it out on Ryan. You know, and that's what I'm concerned about, because it's obvious that Ryan is getting closer to Jess, and I think Jess is hot, and I like Jess. But I don't know why I see Carlos getting pissed off and going after Jess in a future episode or...
I think that too. And I love how, you know, Javier and even Uncle, they're joking with him and is like, when are we going to meet this girl? I don't think they're ever going to have a family cookout with Jess.
Oh, no. I mean, can you imagine?
That's ever going to happen.
That's not gonna happen. That can't happen because.
Let's see what our caller thinks.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Now is this
Sierra,
who are we speaking to?
GR Addicts. Candace.
Oh, GR Addicts. What's up, GR Addicts?
Awesome. How are you?
Good. We're doing. This is Mike and Amy. Of course, is on the line now. One by one, I know that who's on the phone for our addicts.
I am Candace,
and I'm Sophia.
Got it. Now, you guys, we've been kind of talking about the show on the side a little bit. Oh, there it is. We got some dogs in the background. Now, you guys run the GR Addicts Twitter account.
I do, Candace.
Candace does.
Yeah. Otherwise known as Press.
How did you guys get started with the whole thing? Are you guys part of the show or would you guys consider yourself like hardcore fans and then you decided, you know what, we're gonna support the show and we're just gonna go balls to the wall?
Well, we actually decided we were going to support the show just prior to the premiere.
The night before the premiere because we also do at Sons of Anarchy Addicts.
Woohoo!
And
nice.
Yeah, yeah. So Emilio Rivera is on that show, and we have a great team, and we have a great, Facebook and great Twitter, and we have, regional Twitters, 24. I've been in 9 different countries. We run 24/7. So it just seems kind of a logical thing to do, and I'm kind of crazy. So I just said to them about 11 o'clock tonight before the show, hey, let's do Gang Related. And voila, here we are. And I created the Twitter. My first tweet was to Emilio, and I said, guess who? And he clicked follow.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome. Sweet.
That's
yeah.
How Mike and I started.
Yeah, pretty much. We had heard about the show. I had seen it, and I liked the cast. But I wasn't sure how the show was going to be. And then Amy watched it first, and then she called me and was like, "Dude, this has got to be another show that we recap because it's action and you're gonna like it, and it's got that Fast and Furious feel to it." And so I'm sold. I like everybody in there. Yeah, it's a really good show.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's such a diverse cultural cast, and I love the English subtitles. I think it's so cool. So there's a lot happening, and there's a lot of controversial social issues as well, which is really interesting. So it's a great show. I think we're going to see a hell of a lot of more bang to this
Yes, and I think the cast of the show has it seems like it's their baby, so they're really nurturing it. And the first week we were in existence, and Amelia did a Q&A with us, and that really they really worked their social media great, and it engages a lot of fans. And then last night was just incredible. We had Ray Gallagher, did a Q&A with us, and so did Alan Hughes, who was one of the directors. And it's just been really, really great. Yeah, it's been really great to engage with us. We've got pretty much the whole cast following us and engaging, which makes it great. They've been tweeting live during the shows. They've been doing Q&As. They're really taking to the media to help, obviously build viewership.
Well,
that's
really successful, I think, for a TV show. When the cast is really active on Twitter and engaging with the viewers, the fans, it just makes the show even more exciting and even better because you've got a cast who isn't just a cast of actors, but one that really cares about their fans and is totally there. So I think they all rock.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, both of all, if you had to pick one, who's your favorite in the show? Who's your favorite?
Just remember, I have control of the switchboard.
Okay, so
Who is your favorite? Let's put it this way: in the show, who do you not want to see ever die, get hurt, skin a knee, nothing?
I do not want V to be hurt at all. She is the girl. She is the girl that hurts. She's an amazingly strong character. I want to see her do, I don't even know, I can't even imagine what I want to see her do, but she's a very dynamic character.
Got it, completely
impartial to Mr. T.O. Gordo.
Well, that's our Emilio. I mean, we love him because he's our Mayan king, so we never want to see him.
We made it Emilio Rivera Day yesterday, like all over in every single group.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
nice.
He's awesome. He's awesome in Sons. He's awesome in this one. I mean, all his movies, too. I'm a big fan of his movies. So he plays some really serious roles you don't want to – you would never want to meet him in a dark alley on a bad
side.
He's
the nicest guy in person.
Yeah.
He is humble. He is sweet. He is kind.
He's so gracious.
If you watched his Twitter today, you know, there was a picture of him sitting with his son fishing in a pond last night before the show started. I mean, he's just a great, great family man, a great actor. He's very committed to his craft, and he's very successful. He's been sober for a lot of years, so, you know, kudos to him on all of those achievements.
And he loves the attic. We met him in April. He is just a super, super, super cool, nice guy. That's what we love about, you know, like the cast as well, because they're so real and down to earth. And so when we meet them, they are just like us, normal people, and it's great.
Right. Now, are you guys both in Los Angeles?
We're in Toronto, Canada.
Toronto, Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. But I did live in Houston, if that counts.
Oh, you lived in Houston?
You're in Houston, right? I used to live in Houston.
Yeah.
I love Houston.
Nice.
It's my city. I mean, I love Toronto. Oh, yeah. It's where I was born and raised, but I spent 5 years in Houston, so.
Houston's the bomb, Houston. I went to Vancouver, Canada, and I have to admit you have some very attractive women in Vancouver. I was stationed.
You know Toronto and Vancouver is like California and North Carolina. You know that, like, right?
No, I didn't know that. It's like it's on opposite worlds, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I hear Canada, I think Canada is just one big chunk of ice and snow, and everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, that's America. Yeah, Mike's the same
we
way as America. You think America? Go ahead, hon. Go ahead.
No, we don't think like that of Americans because we have a pretty broad understanding of sort of, you know, worldly stuff, right?
But, you know, I know
that's how you think because, like I said, I lived in Texas and, you know, Texas is a country of its own.
Exactly. That's how Mike thinks. You got America, so you got Texas, and that's it.
So I understand where you're coming from because I've spent some time. I've got some great, great friends in there, and I miss it terribly. You have so many great things. I love just sort of the restaurants and the nightlife and the entertainment. It's just a great, great city.
Yes,
please,
I know
come
this.
To Toronto.
We're going to be in Texas, in San Antonio in November.
Oh, sweet. San Antonio is my city, too.
Yeah. Really, we're going to do the boot ride for Sons of Anarchy and boot campaign supporting them.
Oh,
that.
Nice.
You're going to see a couple of our friends there. We have a couple of our friends are actually the agency that brings the Sons of Anarchy cast there and stuff like that. So I'll put
That's
in a good
awesome.
Word for you girls.
Yeah, and if you got any Sons of Anarchy, if you got any Sons of Anarchy information about that event, just let us know and we'll help share. We do a recap show for Sons of Anarchy as well here on Variety Radio Online. So,
Are
you following?
Yeah, Amy's been doing it for
SOA Addicts because we make a lot of noise.
Are you following the SOA Addicts? Amy, you should join the group because we do recaps at every episode. They're called watch parties. And we're just about to start season 6, and we do them Tuesdays and Saturdays, and we get in and we rip apart the shows on Facebook, and we go right through till the beginning of season 7 with season 6.
Yes, definitely. Send me a, like on Twitter, send me a link and I will go look for it and I will definitely add myself to that group. And also, when Mike and I come up to Toronto to watch Lost Girl filming, who's going to give us a couch to sleep on?
I will. Deal. So when we're in spring, Texas, we also need a couch for food campaign. So you guys, it's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly. There you go, Mike.
Exactly.
This is getting crazy. Let's talk gang-related. Let's talk gang-related.
Okay, let's talk gang-related.
So pretty much me and Amy have gotten to the part where we finally get a little backstory about, and we call him Han from Fast and Furious,
okay.
And B, they visit Susan, the hot Asian chick who's running this hot chick bar kind of thing now, and this chick throws out the name Sen Yu, and she does a little history and everything else. What do you guys think, and Amy, we'll start with you, what do you think about getting that whole little backstory of Han's character as a 12-year-old shooting a drug lord kingpin?
I love it. I can't wait for more. I love it. I love when he says something careful, don't poke the demon, because the demon will poke back. And I was like, I will poke his demon. Anyways, I love that he's got his own, like, backstory. I cannot wait to get in deeper in that.
Well, you know, and I think we talked about it last week that it was cool to see V, because we didn't know that she had a Russian brother. We didn't know that she, I mean, at least I didn't. I didn't know that she spoke Russian until she started speaking Russian, and I was like, oh, she's hot. She's even hotter now. Like, she's strong, she's attractive, and she speaks Russian. Candace, what now?
And we kind of knew that something was up with him when he went to this lake the first time and just picked up that hot lug nut, and held it in his hands. We were like, okay, he's got a pass.
Yeah, I think not only did he shoot the kingpin, but I think he probably belonged to some type of gang as well. It's obvious.
Probably belonged to that gang.
Yeah. So, how are you ladies feeling about the backstory?
Well, I saw that scene and I went, oh, because I love backstories, and I thought, okay, so here we are, an introduction to, you know, his arc, right? And another story in the overall story. And I thought, oh, do we have, you know, someone else who is connected to another family? So where is his loyalty? So is he also who he really is, you know, or is something else going on in the background that we aren't aware of yet? So I can't wait to find out what his backstory is. And then I also thought, oh, maybe he was a kid who, you know, belonged to the family, and somehow, you know, he got away. And so then my mind started to race, and I thought, wow, wonder what's going to happen here. But whatever it is, it's really exciting.
Right? It was pretty – I didn't even think about that. I mean, what if? What if Han has, you know, some secret, you know, I mean, what happens if there's – it's just not just Ryan, that there's other families you know.
Right, yeah, because, you know, they have been dealing with the Koreans, right?
Right.
So what if he was part of that?
See, now you got me thinking.
I really love that, you know, like last night we heard, you know, Spanish, we heard Korean, we heard English, you know, and it's this show actually tells us so much about our world, because the whole world lives everywhere and we're so interconnected. So it isn't just the show. There's so much more to it that comes from it. And you go, yeah, you know what? I do have a Russian neighbor, and I do have, you know, an Israeli neighbor, and I do have a Korean neighbor. And that's all cool, because that's just normal. So
yeah.
I really love that aspect of the show.
Nice. What else? Now, we see Ryan pretty much, I for me, when I was watching it, and when Captain says, we're going to go after Carlos, we're going to go do this, and Ryan is pretty much, you can see it in his face, and Amy, we've always said this since episode one, that Ryan isn't very good at hiding his emotions or his facial expressions.
No, he's not.
You know,
not.
And this was a moment right here where he just blurts out no, and everybody's like, and I was thinking to myself, dude, chill out. And, of course, he was able to, you know, to be quick and say, why go after Carlos when we can go after the bigger fish, Javier, and was able to kind of, like, maneuver out of it. Do you think the team caught that, or do you think the team kind of was kind of like, why are you getting so emotional about this? Do you think he gave away his cover a little bit? At least the captain. Amy and I have been saying that captain is in a while that something's up between him and Javier. Do you guys think that?
I think, you know, the captain is actually, I think he's like a wild card. I think he's borderline, you know, should I, shouldn't I delve into, you know, Ryan? And I think, you know, that hopefulness, you know, keeps him, you know, from digging further into Ryan. But I definitely think, you know, there's a question mark with the captain.
Right. I mean, he put that file in the filing cabinet when he could have looked into it further.
Yeah.
And I think he's wavering as to whether he really wants to know or not.
And so, like, Ryan is, you know, he's military. He's been rewarded by the military. Now he's this, you know, star cop. And it's like, do you really want to lose your hero who's, you know, like one of your greatest cops? Like, do you really want to open Pandora's box and get into the ugliness? And so I think the captain is there's a big, big question mark. And will he delve? I think in future he will. Guys,
now,
did you know the show trended last night?
And that's what you were saying on Twitter right now, that it's trended, which is dope.
Yeah, it's dope because last night was a really critical episode to the networks to see if they were going to renew it for another season. So, I mean, we were all on a mission to trend last night, and we were successful. So, you know, fingers crossed they're going to get another season because the story is huge. There's just so much to tell. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got some stuff. And I know that, Amy, you've said something since episode one that you feel – I'm still on the fence, but you feel that Captain and Ryan shared some kind of father-son bond, but deeper than what we've seen, right,
Amy? I honestly think that Captain and Ryan's father, like, they'd done something together. They were in the Army together or something, because it's just like he takes him under his wing.
Yeah, I think he does. You know why I think he does that? Because his relationship with his daughter is so rocky, and they both have this big ego, right? So whatever happened to them as father and daughter, we don't know that story yet. But, you know, Captain and Ryan, you know, it's like a father-son kind of relationship. You know that they're connected. So he's doing something right by Ryan, right, where – and maybe it's trying to make up for what, you know, he doesn't have with his daughter. I don't know, but that's just where my head is at the moment.
Well, I found the most incredible father-like son-like relationship was between Javier and Ryan, you know, more so than Javier and Carlos. And, you know, the jealousy that you can see starting to build in Carlos with, you know, Javier's relationship with Ryan, I think is way more interesting to see how that's going to play out than Ryan's relationship with Captain.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see it because I totally agree with you. I think Amy and I were talking about before you guys jumped on that it's going to be curious to see how Carlos now acts towards Javier. Is he going to be cool but take it out on Ryan? I'm wondering, honestly, what Captain's going to think when Ryan and Jessica pa-chicka-pa-chong-chong get together. Is Captain going to be like, I give you my blessing and he's a great catch? Or is he going to be like, you remind me of me when I was younger and I don't want that for my daughter? I don't know how that's going to play
out. He's going to pop up and he's going to be like, look, you can't have, because this can't happen. Because a long, long time ago, Ryan... me and your mama, that watches mine.
or he's going to embrace it because it's going to allow him to get closer to his daughter.
That is true. He is. It's obviously right? He's trying to fix things up with the daughter. Yeah, I think he's trying more than she is. She is throwing a little smiles, but not towards him. It seems like every time he tries to apologize or tries to get close, she kind of gives him the cold shoulder, but then turns around and kind of smiles. I think she likes the fact that her dad is trying. I love Jess, though. She's totally hot.
I don't know that she really likes or even appreciates that her dad is trying, truthfully. She's so bitter, you know, about having a dad who probably missed out so much of her life as a child and her achievements and her accomplishments. And so who knows what else happened, but her putting this steel wall between her and her father, she's doing the exact same thing to him that he did to her. And she doesn't even realize it yet. She just thinks, oh, I don't need you in my life.
Yeah, but don't you think that Jess is starting to see, especially through Ryan, that, you know, like, there's, yeah, maybe
not
when you were younger, you
guy.
Don't understand. Yeah, but now you see that it is a big deal. Like, we're stopping bad guys. And maybe she's starting to see a little bit. Because even, I think, was it this episode or last episode where Ryan pretty much tells her, like, you know, the job dictates what you do. You know, it's I think Jess is starting to see it's a little bit more than just, you know, pulling over and giving tickets. I don't know. I just don't know. I guess,
Mike. You know, girls are attracted
to bad boys. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Girls like bad boys, and there's something about Ryan that isn't so cool, right? So, you know, the unknown, you know, there's a lot of mystery around Ryan, you know, and so
yeah. It's
like, what is that?
You know, and I don't think girls forgive so quickly when their fathers aren't in their lives, and we're assuming that that he wasn't in her life. And that's just, you know, you're either daddy's little girl or it's a very strained relationship. There seems to be, you know, not some middle ground when it's a daughter and a father.
No, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you, lady.
I got you.
You're either a daddy or you're a donor. That's it.
Oh, wow. All right, I got it. We're going into the trouble. Okay, I got it. Amy, what did you think? What did you think, Amy, of, and of course, the NGR addicts right down the line, about Ryan paying a visit to the rave dude's dad, going in there, speaking for RZA, like, yo.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. I honestly thought Ryan was recording. I wasn't thinking he was going to sit down and, like, threaten him with his gun, which was brilliant that he threatened him with his own gun.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it. I was upset. I was like, Cash better not be leaving the show.
Oh yeah, I would have been pissed if RZA was.
I love me Cash.
Yeah.
I would not have wanted to see his character go. But that was pretty bold of him to do, don't you think? Like, who does that? Like, he took a really huge, you know,
risk.
Chance in walking in there and, you know, putting his or pretending that his gun was the gun. I think it's going to backfire. I think it's going to come back to him. It's going to backfire on him. It might be okay right now, but I think it's going to come back to haunt him.
Well, it's showing that he's not a clean cop, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I really thought he was going to go in and... What were you saying, Candace?
No, go ahead. What were you
going to
say?
Oh, no, I was saying that I thought he was going to go in there. I thought it was going to get physical. I thought he was going to, after he kind of put his true colors, I really thought Ryan was going to kind of get him in a chokehold and do that. But it was very slick, as Amy was saying, how he took out the gun and did that whole thing. And it just shows you how slick Ryan can really be. He can be, you know, that guy if he has to, you know. So
yeah,
I think that's more dangerous.
Can be.
Yeah, that's more dangerous than a guy just coming in and kicking your door down and kicking the shit out of you, you know. Yeah, so,
yeah,
but it's cool.
We call it an SOS, bullets before brains, those guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we talk about David and the country club and him?
I mean, Daniel.
Daniel. I don't know
okay.
why the heck I called him David.
What do you want to say about him?
Him and the country club and the rich little snobby women, and then him putting $2 million down. You know he's going to lose that money.
I think he's just he's trying to play with the big boys and to
right.
make a point. You know, that's what I. But you know what? It was. I mean, okay. My, and I have a and I did have it written down, Amy, and I was going to ask you, and I'm asking you other two ladies as well. I mean, those girls. You know, they were, yeah, it's kind of bigotry of them and kind of whatever and stereotype. But I met one chick's like, we bring our kids here. Like, would you guys be happy with someone of that caliber there as a member with the opportunity of something to go wrong? Or do you think she was overreacting, Amy?
She was overreacting.
Okay. Candace?
I
think she was overreacting too.
Hmm.
Go ahead, Jessica.
I think she was overreacting too. But you know, to me, like I thought, okay, she's okay. This chick is overreacting. But really, like, is that kind of better than the white collar exec who you know rips off you know decent people on a day to day basis and lives off of the riches? Like, really?
yeah. See, I
what's
agree with
going
you
on
that.
Here. It's so hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because
just watching her, I was like, "Yeah, wait, what?"
No, it just goes to show you. I mean, like the show is giving you, you know, like another reality of real life that this happens in real life, right? It's,
oh yeah, definitely does.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, it was kind of, I was almost on the, because I was like, well, they just kind of messed up what they said, but then I was thinking to myself, but then this chick was saying, you know, we bring our kids here, is it going to be, and then I was thinking, well, you know, I mean, you know, and that's weird because Amy knows that, you know, pretty soon I'm going to be having my first child. So I started thinking to myself, you know, as being married, no kids, would I care? Probably not, you know? But having a child and having the child there and something go wrong because of this, it kind of would, you know, put red flags. I don't think I would say I don't want them here, but I would definitely be aware of the situation.
See,
you know?
Okay, like right now there's something going on in the news with the guy, the really good-looking – he is good-looking criminal guy. I bet if he walked into that country club, those women would be like, yes, here's the paper, sign. Oh, you need me to sign it for you? Yes.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the craziest thing, because my wife showed me it, and she was like, did you hear about this? And I was like, no. And she's like, this guy is getting national news.
It's viral.
Yeah, and it's because this guy is so good-looking, but he's still a criminal, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, he should be released from prison because he's so – I'm just like, what the hell is going on? And I, you know, it's social media. Yeah, it's,
people were tweeting me and Kurt Sutter saying, can he be in season 7? I was
really
excited. And then I looked and I saw the news and I watched the TV and I was like, oh my God, he's everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, all of my different accounts in the group. It's crazy.
If he gets out, because I'm not sure what they did. I think it was like gun possession and stuff like that, like swapping guns and drugs and all that.
Yeah.
So in a couple of years, when he's out and free and all that good stuff, I guarantee you that he is going to have his own reality show or something.
Oh, he'll be on the Sunday Night RT. He'll be a model.
They interviewed him in jail and said, he's like, I can't believe I'm on Facebook and Twitter.
It is crazy. And it just shows you how society is and social media and 1 minute, how quick social media can bring you up and make you a superstar and how quick it can bring you down. It's pretty,
absolutely,
pretty scary stuff. And I guess since we talked about Daniel and we see the little thing that happens at the club and Jason makes his mind up and then Benito's dad visits his son and realizes and kind of working with Captain, I guess the big giant moment is when Javier and Uncle meet Carlos and his boy out in the lot that Javier is about to sell, and everything else. Amy, what did you think about that whole, you know, bringing Carlos in there and kind of talking with him and then kind of dropping the ball? He didn't say, I mean, I know that earlier in this episode, Ryan wanted Javier to pull him out of it and make him have no decisions in the family. And, of course, Javier's like, that's still my son. So it's obvious that he didn't put his foot down on his and Carlos like that, but did make a point, you know, and is pissed off and kind of admits that he doesn't respect his son.
Yeah.
What did you think about that whole crazy thing now that we have the ladies on the phone.
Well, first let's talk about, I want to talk about Javier giving his backstory on why he never sold this lot, why he didn't want to sell this lot.
Right.
It touched my heart. I loved him then. But then he, like, did a 180 when killed. Like, he told his son, I thought he was going to kill his son.
Yeah,
So did I.
Oh, so y'all ladies, y'all thought he was going to kill Carlos?
Yeah, I was like, gosh, Carlos is getting a bullet in the head.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I didn't think he was going to kill Carlos. I think, you know, that the dynamic of that relationship, father and son, completely did a 360 because he basically admitted, you know, that he has no respect for his son. And you could see the painful hurt in Carlos. So that is now going to give us, you know, a real freaky, explosive Carlos, I think. Then,
yeah, because he's not going to care anymore.
He doesn't respect him.
Take on everything.
And then the other thing, like that backstory of that whole lot, you know, that he decided to sell, for me was, okay, you've got to give up the past to move into the future. And that was all touching and everything. And then we had, you know, like that scene where, you know, Tio does the guy in, and it's like, well, you just are so hypocritical, dude. You're not moving into the future. If you think you sold this to move ahead, you're just continuing, you know, like all the craziness that you're trying to get out of.
Mm.
So that was, to me, was like, uh-oh. This is not cool.
Yeah, because that's what
this
I was saying.
So
with
not
Amy.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about Javier is that as much as he tries and says, I want to be legit, 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 he always finds his way, or it always finds its way of pulling him back in, you know, and I don't think he's ever going to leave that lifestyle at all.
Now I want somebody
to
make a
fan. No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I kind of want him to, but I don't think he is. But fans out there listening, I need a fan video of Javier and the song Too Legit to Quit. Make it happen. Because every time Mike says that song pops into my head.
Oh, when I say Javier can't get out of the business?
Yeah.
You think of it's a quiz?
Yeah. We might be able to help you out with that, Amy.
That is
we definitely may be able to help you out with that. We've got Tata on board who loves to do the video, so we'll put that out there, see if she
That would be awesome.
Nice.
For you.
Well, I think that's it for the show because it's running up, running out right now. You guys, I appreciate you coming in and talking gang related with us. You guys can be found on Twitter at @GRAddicts, right? That is the mother.
And gang related addicts on Facebook. We've got a Facebook group too.
Sweet. And then you guys, of course, we can't forget about Sons of Anarchy. Is that SOA Addicts?
SOA Addicts.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Okay, ladies. Well, thanks for taking the time.
On Facebook, Sons of Anarchy, Addicts Anonymous support group.
There you go. All right, ladies. Once again, thanks for coming out and chatting. Don't forget people.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Bye.
Anytime.
Bye.
Bye.
Love them. Love them. Love them. Love them.
Yes, they're fellow fans of Gang Related. Don't forget, people, you can check them out on Twitter at @GRAddicts. And, of course, they @GRAddicts on Facebook as well. And I'm sure you can see all the SO Addicts and the Facebook page and all that good stuff and everything else. So, Amy, I think that's pretty much it for you and I, right?
That's it.
So on a scale 1 to 10, I always have to ask. I think I've been forgetting to ask.
You
scale
haven't.
1 to 10 this episode.
8.
But I thought you said you were bored.
At the beginning, I was. But,
okay,
you know, my Han's got his own little storyline going on, and I'm loving it.
Gosh.
Don't gosh me. Look, V's got two storylines going on.
She's got the
HIV storyline, and then she's got a brother that's in prison. And I know you want to know why he's in prison.
She also has a story of being so hot. She's so hot.
And I think her and my man got something going on the side.
her and Han?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
How do you know it's not going to happen?
Because I don't. I think Han is too. He's too by the book. And then she is too. I don't think she's. I think that she would. B seems. They both seem like the type of people that would not mix pleasure with business. They'd be like, we're partners. It'll make it weird. There you go. Mm-hmm. Ryan, on the other hand, wouldn't care because Jessica's hot and it's obvious she's been throwing the looks at him forever and he's finally going to get to dinner. And notice how he's like, come have dinner at my house.
No, he said you like food.
And then come to my house.
Let me tell you guys a little secret. Every woman likes food.
I know that. But he said, come to my house. So let me ask you a question. Since you're throwing that about women and that you love food, you're going out with a guy. Do you go to a restaurant or would you rather go to his house and have dinner?
Is he cooking? Or
yeah,
is he ordering?
He's cooking. He's cooking. He's cooking.
Oh, then yeah, we'll go to his house. He can cook for me.
I bet he could cook for you. All right, people, that's it for the show. Thanks once again, GR Addicts, for hanging out with us and talking gang-related. Don't forget we do this every Friday. The show airs on Fox on Thursdays. If you haven't been watching it, I believe you can go to Fox On Demand and you can watch it and catch up with us and watch the show. It's a really good show, action-packed, great. And now you're starting to see more stories from all the different characters, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this next one is going to be interesting because, you know, as we see in this episode, at the end of it, Chapel gets a new informant to protect his son, Benito, from going to prison. So he's going to be giving up information for Javier's fish scale business. So I think I saw Ryan say that there's a new informant and it's about to get crazy, plus Carlos is involved. And I think it almost shows the informant going through a book and you see Ryan's picture. Oh, crap balls. And it looks like Chapel finds out about some stuff as well.
I can't wait.
And I'm just waiting for Jessica to get because she's hot. And I just want to see her in her after-hour lawyer outfit.
She is hot when she takes a stun gun.
What?
Electric gun.
What
are you talking? The guy's balls.
That's B. I'm talking about Jess.
Oh.
See, okay, you're thinking about balls once again. All right, that's it for us. Everybody else, have a great weekend. If you want to follow Amy on Twitter, it's at AmyVRO.
Yep.
That's right. At AmyVRO. That's her personal account. If you want to check out Variety Radio Online, all you got to do is go to at TheVRO
mm-hmm.
on Twitter.
VRO.
There you go. And the VRO.com, the mothership, the VRO.com. If you're on Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook, make sure you type in Variety Radio Online right there and then. If you want to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Mike the Movie Guy, I've got a blog called iWatchMike.com. We do put the show, every week's show is right here on blogtalkradio.com/Variety Radio Online. You can also find it on the VRO.com as well as iWatchMike.com. That is it. We'll be back next Friday to talk more gang-related. Everybody have a great weekend. Amy, you have a great weekend.
I will.
GR Addicts, once again, thanks a lot for all the tweets, shares, and follows. And let's keep doing our thing for gang-related and tell all the cast I said what's up. And Amy.
And my phone number is 409.
Yeah, I think Amy wants a poster of Han without his shirt on in the locker room. So GR Addicts, make that happen. And you'll have Amy for the rest of your life.
Yes, she will. Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.